Good to see you all. Thanks for being here. It's cool how just thinking about the different personalities and people. I don't know. I was just appreciating this morning different things that different people bring to a gathering. As we each, with our individualities, and some people, you know, bring the life of the party, and some people would rather avoid the party and whatever we bring to it. But each of us brings something, and so thank you for being here. Thanks for bringing who you are. And I trust as we meet together that God uses that time in each other's lives, certainly in my time, in my experience. So, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to gather. My name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here. And it's really a joy to be here. This morning, I want to start with a video. And on Monday, we remembered Martin Luther King Jr. and some of the things that he did and stood for. For a long time, I've admired Martin Luther King Jr. and the things that he stood up for, and his perseverance and his desire to do that in a way that was nonviolent. And to me, that takes just an unbelievable amount of strength. And I think it takes less strength to return evil for evil, and even as he said that darkness can not drive out darkness. Hate cannot drive out hate, but only light can drive out darkness. Only love can drive out hate. And what an amazing message to walk through and to eventually kind of give his life for. And so I want to start with this video. I got it off YouTube, but I don't know who pieced together different footage. Some of it's a little graphic, as far as the brutality of things that went on. And yet I hope that you guys can engage with what he's saying. Just a really beautiful message in that, talking about what does it take to walk through these challenges? How do you find the strength to endure? And each of us in our life have our challenges that we walk through. And certainly they're not the same. We each have different challenges. But we all, at some level, engage in a struggle in this life. And we all need to be able to find the source of strength to walk through that. And so, anyways, if you would play this, we'll start with this.
Then we started our struggle together. Things were going well for the first few days, but then about 10 or 15 days later, after the white people in Montgomery knew that we meant business, they started doing some nasty things. They started making nasty telephone calls, and it came to the point that some days more than 40 telephone calls would come in, threatening my life, the life of my family, the life of my children. I took it for a while in a strong manner. But I never will forget one night very late. It was around midnight. And you can have some strange experiences at midnight. I had been out meeting with the steering committee all that night. And I came home.
Lord help.
My wife was in the bed, and I immediately crawled into bed to get some rest, to get up early the next morning to try to keep things going. And immediately, the telephone started ringing, and I picked it up. On the other end was an ugly voice. That voice said to me in substance, "Nigger, we are tired of you and your mess now. And if you aren't out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow your brains out and blow up your house." I'd heard these things before, but for some reason, that night it got to me. I turned over and I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't sleep. frustrated, bewildered. Then I got up and went back to the kitchen and I started warming some coffee, thinking the coffee would give me a little relief. Then I started thinking about many things. I pulled back on the theology and philosophy that I had just studied in the universities, trying to give philosophical and theological reasons for the existence and the reality of sin and evil. But the answer didn't quite come there. I sat there and thought about a beautiful little daughter who had just been born about a month earlier. We have four children now, but we only had one then. She was the darling of my life. I'd come in night after night and see that little gentle smile. And I sat at that table thinking about that little girl and thinking about the fact that she could be taken away from any minute. And I started thinking about a dedicated, devoted, and loyal wife who was over there asleep. She could be taken from me, I could be taken from her. And I got to the point that I couldn't take it any longer. I was weak. And something said to me, "You can't call on Daddy now. He's up in Atlanta, 175 miles away. You can't even call on Mama now. You got to call on that something and that person that your daddy used to tell you about. That power that can make a way out of no way." I discovered then that religion had to become real to me and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I never will forget it. Oh, yes, I prayed a prayer, and I prayed out loud that night. I said, "Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause that we represent is right. But, Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage." Seemed at that moment that I could hear an inner voice saying to me, "Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And Lord, I will be with you even until the end of the world." I tell you, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Still to fight on." He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. Promise never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Sometimes I feel discouraged. And I don't mind telling you this morning that sometimes I feel discouraged. I felt discouraged in Chicago. As I moved through Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama, I feel discouraged. Living every day under the threat of death, I feel discouraged sometimes. Living every day under extensive criticisms, even from Negroes, I feel discouraged sometimes. Yes, sometimes I feel discouraged and feel my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. God bless you.
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for each person here. I thank you that you are with each one of us in the trials that we face. Thank you that you have overcome the world. Thank you for the amazing hope we have in you. Thank you that you are with us. God, I ask that you would refresh souls this morning with hope, that you would refresh us with strength, that we would find new strength in you, that we would find a tenacity to cling to you and refuse to find comfort in anything else. I ask that you would make us aware of your presence as we walk through this life, that we would know more and more that you are with us, that you fight for us, that you care about us. I pray for the trials that folks are going through right here. I ask that you would help us to support each other and love each other, and that you would give us an unending hope in you. Please speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going through a series. We're almost wrapped up with it, called The Commands of Christ. And so we're looking at, Jesus said in the Great Commission that we should make disciples of all nations, baptize them and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so, what did Jesus command us? And that's what we want to pass on. I liked how Mike said it. These aren't like a commands, like these are duties you do to try to become right with God. But they're an explanation of kingdom living. What does it look like to live in Jesus' kingdom? What are some of the things that you would see in people's lives as they live in that place? And so today we're going to look at number 9, stand. And we are called to stand. We are called to persevere in faith all the way to the end. And so we're going to look at a section in Mark 4. If you guys want to grab a Bible, there's some around, or Google it. I'm going to pull it up on my phone. So in this parable, Jesus is talking about the Word of God going to 4 different types of people. And so we're just going to look at the first 2 other times. We've looked at the other ones, but really powerful story. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root.'" And he goes through a couple more soils. And then we're going to skip down to 13 where he's going to explain it. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word.'" So the word of God going out. "Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." Has no impact. "Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." And then goes into the other soils as well. But so you can see there, Jesus is talking about that need to persevere. And just a few things. It's interesting. He doesn't say if trouble and persecution comes. He says when trouble and persecution comes. When trouble and persecution comes, we need to have a root. We need to be grounded. We need to have a depth of relationship. We need to not just have a really shallow relationship or understanding of God. We need to let our faith go down deep into God. Because the sun is going to come up. Trouble is going to come. And when it does, we don't want to be scorched. I remember when I came to faith a little over 20 years ago, really kind of wrestling with this and some other very similar passages, because I knew that we were supposed to have a confidence in Christ, that we were saved, that we knew where we were going. I know because of what Christ has done, I am going to heaven. And then I would read these other things. You need to persevere to the end. You need to finish the race. And I remember being kind of shaken by that. Well, how can I be confident? How can I know what's going to happen? How do I know if I'm going to make it? And it was cool for me as I went through kind of reading this out on my own, that as I found those places that said, you need to endure to the end, it also said, God's the one that's going to make you endure to the end. And so we are able to stand because of the power of God. It is not some strength or something we conjure up. Oh, it's up to me by my great faith or my great goodness or something to make it to the end. But God's power is able to carry us all the way to the end. And I like how Martin Luther King Jr. is explaining that. It's like, man, I get discouraged, but I find a strength in Christ. And we have this amazing strength. So I just kind of want to rewind a little bit, just as I was saying. We have eternal life. We've been given eternal life. We've been given righteousness, a right standing with God. We've been given complete acceptance from God by believing in Jesus Christ. We do not have to earn or do certain anythings to have that. We have been saved. We have been set free. We can come into the presence of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. So cool. Just to kind of reiterate that. It's not by our work. It's not. It's just by trusting in Him. It's His work. We're trusting in His work. We're trusting in the death, the substitution, the death that Jesus died as a substitute for us, and His resurrection, His new life that's lived out in us and that overcame death. It's His work that we're trusting in. Righteousness is from Him. It's not from us. And likewise, perseverance. Perseverance is from Him. It's not from us. I don't know why a couple weeks ago I was thinking of it like, imagine I was stuck on Mars. And I don't know, maybe all I have is a few potatoes to eat or something. I can make a movie out of this, I think. But imagine I'm stuck on Mars. And I'm going to try to make it off of Mars. I feel like that's the extent of us trying to be righteous on our own. I'm going to try to make it back to Earth. Whatever, I'm going to start mining ore. It's like that hopeless. And yet, God sent His Son into our world to save us, to restore us back to God. And all we have to do is have enough trust to let Him rescue us. But at the end of the day, we don't claim it's from ourselves. There's nothing I can claim that says, oh, the reason I have a right standing with God, the reason I'm blameless before God is, well, because I do these things. No. Because He rescued me. Because He made a way for me. And so, we are saved because of what God did, and we can trust God to finish His work. He will carry it on. He will finish His work. These are some of the verses at that time and since that have been very encouraging to me. In Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He will carry on his work. He started it. He's going to continue it. He's going to finish it. 1 Peter 5:10, Peter writes, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." He himself will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will carry us forward. We can trust him in that. May God himself, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So our role is to trust. God is the one who accomplishes. He is the one who is able to purify us, to sanctify us, to make our spirit, soul, and body holy. As we are cleansed by what Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." How cool. He is the one. He anointed us, put a call on our life, anointed us like with oil, said, this is mine. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. Put his spirit inside of us as a down payment, guaranteeing what is to come. How cool to trust in that. And yet, I'm assuming all of you, if you've put your trust in Christ and have followed for very long, you have this sense of, okay, trusting God for his work is not always super easy. And the reality of that, as we press on, as we allow ourselves to trust him, is a process. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, "Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift." You don't lack any spiritual gift. You've been given what you need in Christ. "As you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, he will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God is faithful. At the end, we will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think anybody can look at their life and say, yep, at the end of my life, we're going to look at it and go, yep, there was a perfect life. Yeah, right. But at the end of the life, we're going to look back and say, blameless. There's no blame here. Because Christ took all of it. Because I am in Christ. And he is faithful to do that. May we be faithful to trust him. May we trust in what he's done. So, the reality of that is we must trust God, even through pain. Life brings pain. All of us experience pain. I think it's really easy sometimes to minimize someone else's pain. But at the end of the day, no one knows except that person. And sometimes maybe we look and say, I'm glad I didn't have Martin Luther King Jr.'s pain. But We have our own. We each have our own trials. We each have our own troubles. We each walk through the pain of life. And we share that in common with everyone. There's no one who escapes. And following Jesus does not give us a free ticket away from pain. If we follow Christ, it's like, sweet, pain-free life, no more trouble. In fact, it says, when trouble comes because of the Word, sometimes we have extra trials in our life because of Christ. And yet He's faithful in that. So we can find strength in God during pain. How can we put our trust in Christ in the midst of that challenge, in the midst of what we engage with? In order to trust God, He has to become our refuge. He is our refuge. He is our hiding place, our shelter that we can go to. We can turn to Him. And I think a lot of times in life, it's so easy to turn to something else. So we go through this crazy, confusing pain, whatever that is, whatever trouble, and we sit in it. I don't want to sit in it. So we turn somewhere else, something that will medicate, something that will help us. And I think for me, my favorite to turn to is busyness. If I can just get really busy, that is great. Just drown out whatever's going on. That is wonderful. Especially if that busyness makes me feel like I'm making a difference in life. Work and busyness, that's the one I like. And it feels pretty good, you know, whatever. Just drown it out. I think sometimes, other times, we turn to entertainment. And I include myself in all of these. Turn to entertainment. Because in the middle of that trouble of life, it's kind of nice. Give me a good movie. Give me a couple hours on Facebook. Who knows? I won't necessarily feel it as much. Sometimes we turn to food to help us with the trouble of life. Sometimes to possessions and kind of like being able to manage our possessions, manage our life, have a sense of control in that. Sometimes we turn to riches or the security that we can hope the riches money will provide. Sometimes we turn to alcohol or something that will just kind of numb that feeling a little, loosen us up. Sometimes we turn to relationships, to other people, places that we can latch on to people. And what's interesting is none of these are bad. None of those are bad at all. In fact, those are things that God's given us in life. God's given us work and entertainment and joy and relationships and fun and food and alcohol and all these things. And yet what happens is if we turn to those to find our strength regularly, then they become our strength. They become our source of like comfort. And instead we have an opportunity to turn to God. And it hurts. And turn to God in the middle of that pain and trouble and try to hide in the refuge that He is and sit in that confusion, sit in that place of I wanted something and I didn't get it, sit in that place of I lost something and I really wanted it and I thought You were going to let me have it for longer than that. And we sit in that place of reality and just sit there with the living God. And all the theology goes out the door sometimes. And all our great understanding of who God is and what we could explain is gone. And we just sit there. And hopefully in an honest place, in an honest prayer, in an honest conversation, say, I don't know where You are right now. And there's some books in the center of the Bible, the poetic books. Job, Psalms, Lamentations. And they're full of people that did that, just sat there and said, "Where are you, God? You said you would not abandon us, and yet our armies are routed. Our cities are destroyed. People mock me all day long. Where are you?" And then in the middle of that, like Job, in the midst of this crazy trial, he lost everything. He lost all of his kids. He lost all of his fame and fortune. He lost all his wealth. He lost his reputation. He lost his ability to speak and to make a difference in people's life. His skin was covered with sores. His skin turned black. He couldn't sleep. He says, my breath is offensive to my wife. And in the middle of that, he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And this is not easy. It's easy to write, God's our refuge, turn to him. But it's a lot harder to do when life is full of confusion and pain. And in the middle of that, my little view of God gets blown up. And the cheap answers that I used to turn to and the easy solutions people throw to me don't work. And yet, in the midst of that honesty, we find a bigger God. We find a greater understanding of the true God who is there, who is beyond our full understanding. And we find hope. And it's beautiful to me. I read some of these Psalms, and in the Psalm it's like, God, where are you? What's going on? And at the end he says, and I will trust you. You are the God of the universe. My heart rejoices in you. And in my life, I have found God in some of the pain of my life. And I think sometimes when I think of life, I'm afraid of the pain that's going to come. There's some more pain that's going to come. And yet, even as I have found God in the pain I've already experienced, there's a confidence that God will be in my life in whatever comes in the future. We don't have to walk into the future with fear. We can walk into life with confidence. We can find God. He will be with us. We will be closer to him as we walk through these things. And yet I don't wish for those things. But may we walk in confidence in those, in this hope because of what has come about already. And as we do this, as we walk through these, as we fight to find God in our trials, our roots grow down. We are strengthened. We get to know God more. Our faith becomes real. And when the next trial comes, we have a little more strength. And in the middle of that, sometimes it feels like there's no possibility. And I think that's part of that is the value of support. To have people in your life too that are praying for you, that you can share your life with, that support you, that don't just give you really quick fixes, but sit with you in your pain, who will stand by, who will pray for you and care about you. And to find those promises that we can turn to God in. There is that promise, I am with you. And this promise is all over. Isaiah 41:10 is awesome. God is with you. And I know in the midst of tremendous things, that makes no sense. Like, what do you mean you're with me? I feel as empty and you feel as far away as I can imagine. And yet, as we go through those, we see that he is with us and that he was with us and that there's a promise that he will be with us. Jesus, Jesus promised, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." How cool. You can have peace. And then right away, let me tell you how you can have peace. You're going to have trouble. It's like, wait a second. It's not what you're supposed to say right after you tell somebody they're going to have peace. You're going to have peace. Okay, you have lots of trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I want to encourage you all, if there are trials that you are going through, don't just walk through them alone. If you want prayer, there's lots of people here that would love to pray for you. I would love to pray for you. If you are going through a dark time, be honest in it. God's not scared of our honesty. God's not shocked by us bringing what we really think to Him. And as we bring it to Him, may we find that hope in Him, because He is our ability to stand and to endure through whatever specific trials we each have. So let's pray. God, I thank You that You are with us. I thank You that You sustained Martin Luther King Jr. to the end of his life. I thank You that You will sustain each of us. I thank You that in You is hope. God, I ask that You would give each one of us the courage to cry out to You and come to You, to get to know You more. I ask that You would give us the courage to not just turn to the places that medicate our pain, but to turn towards You, to find You and to find hope. Thank You for the amazing hope we have. Thank You for the hope we have of being with You completely one day. Thank You, Jesus, for saving us. Thank You for rescuing us. Thank You for making us new. Thank You for the awesome hope that You sustain inside of us. We love You and desire just to continue to walk with You with joy and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.